So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, text number 17, from chapter 2. Chapter 2 is entitled Divinity and Divine Service. Now Srila Prabhupada said that every Vaishnava must by heart this entire chapter, all the verses, because there are so many nectarian verses there. Every verse is like a gemstone. So we are fortunate that we are going through this section, and that too today we are going through a very, very important verse which glorifies Srimad Bhagavatam. The next verse for tomorrow also does the same. Shrinvatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridayantasto Hi Abhadrani Vidhunoti Suhrat Satam. Shrinvatam, those who have developed the urge to hear the message of Swakatha, his own words, capital H, not small h, not our own words, his own words. Krishna, the personality of Godhead, Punya, virtues, Shravana, hearing, Kirtana, chanting, Hridi Antastaha, within one's heart, he certainly, Abhadrani, desire to enjoy matter, Vidhunoti, cleanses, Suhrit, benefactor, Satam, of the truthful. Translation, Ashila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma or Super Soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma or the Super Soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Purport. Messages of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, are not different from him. Whenever, therefore, offenseless hearing and glorification of God are undertaken, it is to be understood that Lord Krishna is present there in the form of transcendental sound, which is as powerful as the Lord personally. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtakam prayers declares clearly that the holy name of the Lord has all the potencies of the Lord, and that he has endowed his innumerable names with the same potency. There is no rigid fixture of time, and anyone can chant the holy name with attention and reverence at his convenience. The Lord is so kind to us that he can be present before us personally in the form of transcendental sound. But unfortunately, we have no taste for hearing and glorifying the Lord's name and activities. We have already discussed developing a taste for hearing and chanting the holy sound. It is done through the medium of service to the pure devotee of the Lord. The Lord is reciprocally respondent to his devotees. When he sees that a devotee is completely sincere in getting admittance to the transcendental service of the Lord and has thus become very eager to hear about Him, then the Lord acts from within the devotee in such a way that the devotee may easily go back to Him. The Lord is more anxious. The Lord is more anxious to take us back into His kingdom than we can desire. Most of us do not desire at all to go back to Godhead. Only a very few men want to go back to Godhead. But anyone who desires to go back to Godhead, Sri Krishna helps in all respects. One cannot enter into the kingdom of Godhead unless one is perfectly cleared of all sins. The material sins are products of our desires to lord it over material nature. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. It is very difficult to get rid of such desires. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Women and wealth are very difficult problems for the devotee making progress on the path back to Godhead. Many stalwarts in the devotional line fell victim to these allurements and thus they retreated from the path of liberation. But when one is helped by the Lord Himself, the whole process becomes as easy as anything by the divine grace of the Lord. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment. To become restless in the contact of women and wealth is not an astonishment. Because every living being is associated with such things from remote time, practically immemorial. And it takes time to recover from this foreign nature. But if one is engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, gradually he realizes his real position. By the grace of God, such a devotee gets sufficient strength to defend himself from the state of disturbances. And gradually, all disturbing elements are eliminated from his mind. Shrinvatan Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridayanta Stohi Abhadrani, Vidunoti Suratsatam. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripatindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vatadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhiraye Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naishtiki. Hare Krishna.
So this verse, in fact a series of verses, talk about the glories of simply hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. As sadhakas in our day-to-day life, we struggle with lot of material desires, and primary amongst those are women and wealth. Almost every individual struggles with these two problems. So sometimes devotees may feel frustrated that we are trying our best, but still we are not able to overcome these problems. But if you talk to devotees who really have this problem and you ask them this question, are you hearing Srimad Bhagavatam daily? Then inevitably the answer will be no. So therefore, the solution here is clearly given that one has to hear Bhagavatam on a regular basis. Regular attendance in Srimad Bhagavatam classes is required. Every day at least we have to take shelter of one lecture per day of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we do that, then we stand a better chance of surviving Maya's attack of wealth and the opposite sex. Women in case of men and men in case of women. Because Srimad Bhagavatam acts internally inside our consciousness and cleanses the desire for material enjoyment gradually. And we can always see, for example, on Monday and Tuesdays when we come back from office, Monday is a very passionate day at workplace. And everything is happening on Monday. You are trying to catch so many things. And throughout the day one is typically very busy. Ditto for Tuesdays. So when we come in the evening and then after all that day's work in the mode of passion, and then we enter Keshav Prabhu's Bhakti Vaibhav class, and then those 1.5 hours when we come out of it, then we realize, oh, did I really go to work today? The consciousness is completely different. From mode of passion, suddenly we are elevated not to mode of goodness, but much above the mode of goodness. And for some time that effect is there. Just like when you take a painkiller, for some time the effect is there. But after some time it starts coming slowly, then you have to pop another painkiller. So Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. You have to keep popping it every now and then the pain will be under control. The pain of material desires will be under control. However, there are many people who say that who you see will be studying Srimad Bhagavatam, but they will be going nowhere in their devotional lives. Now why does that happen? Because here Srimad Bhagavatam is saying, Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Srinvatam Swakata Krishna, so many verses are there. But sometimes it just doesn't impact certain people's lives. Right? And if you ask them, they'll say, I'm reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So I was talking to one of my relatives recently, and this was in India, I was having a telecon. So recently, we bought a house, around an apartment 3-4 months ago, and then relatives were calling, congratulations, whatever. So one of the relatives called and I said, oh, how are you, and this and that. After all pleasantries were over, then this lady, she's very expert at social relationships. She knows exactly what to talk with who, right? So I asked, how's it going nowadays? So, nothing. Just reading Srimad Bhagavatam nowadays. I said, very good. And I knew that she'll say that, and she knew that I'll say very good. So it was a mutually artificial conversation that we were having. So I said, excellent, wonderful. I said,
Then she told me, no, every day I'm reading, every day. But, except for that telephone call, if you see this person's life, it's completely filled with pride and material aspirations. But for me, she never talks about that subject matter with anyone in the family. With everyone else, it will be like, you know, my son did this, he has become, you know, big man, you know, he brought me this jewelry, you know, I did this, I did that, you know, look at the way, you know, for him it's nothing, big expenditures are nothing, he's a big man in corporate life and this and that. So, but for this conversation with me, everything is there. So I was wondering that day, why this is happening? And then suddenly, you know, the realization came that yes, because she may be reading only the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, but except for Srila Prabhupada, who has given purpose to Srimad Bhagavatam? Right? So simply reading the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, for example, even in many Indian schools, they have Bhagavad Gita competition and many children take part. And people get prizes also, children get prizes for nicely reciting Bhagavad Gita verses. But then, as practicing devotees, Srila Prabhupada has taught us, it's not about knowing Bhagavad Gita verses, it's about living Bhagavad Gita. In fact, in one of the previous classes we discussed that once one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples brought a Vedic Sanskrit scholar and he said, Prabhupada, here is a man, he knows all the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita. He can recite it from 1 to 700 and from 700 back again to 1. Srila Prabhupada said, oh, is it? But can he live 1 minute of Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada said, can he live? He knows the verses, but can he live Bhagavad Gita? That is more important. So as practicing devotees, we know that. So, the point that we are trying to make here is, only through the commentaries of the acharyas will we truly be able to derive the benefits of study of Srimad Bhagavatam. Not simply by studying the verses. Because sometimes the verses can actually be the other way. We may totally misunderstand what those verses mean if we simply see those verses. They may act quite opposite, or we may understand quite the opposite meaning of what actually the acharya meant when scripting Srimad Bhagavatam. And we can jump to improper conclusions. So, for cleansing our heart, reading the purports are very, very important. We cannot dispense with the purports. So, recently we had Srila Vamanadev's appearance day and all of us were fasting for that Ekadashi. Now, if you ask someone what is the most important learning from Srila Vamanadev's appearance, then immediately, you know, the thought comes that yes, Bali Maharaja's Atma Nivedanam principle. So usually Vamandev's pastime is associated automatically with that. But very less discussion sometimes happens on Prahlad Maharaj. If you see, Bali Maharaja's ancestor was Prahlad Maharaj, right? And Prahlad Maharaj was like the great grand seer of the dynasty when this pastime was taking place, and he was still on, you know, manifesting his pastimes, right? Now, the same Prahlad Maharaj who was old and living within this family life when this Bali Maharaj passed time, he was still living with his family, right? Living amongst with his grandchildren. Now, the same Prahlad Maharaj, if you go back to 7th canto to study, you know, during the Narsimha Leela pastime, when Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlad, young Prahlad, what are the things that you learnt at school? One of the things that he says, apart from the fact that, you know, Narayana Parasarva, you know, he's telling that Lord Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of the things he says is about Grihastha Ashram. The verse, you know, the verse ends with Hitva Atmapatam Griham Andakupam. Hitva Atmapatam Grihad Andakupam. So where he tells Hiranyakashipu that this Grihastha Ashram or this family life is like a deep, dark well. Right? And one can easily get sucked into this family life and develop attachment for me, my family, my wife, my children, my relatives, then so and so after that. Then the extended family, which is my house, my car insurance. So many things we get attached to. Right? So that's why it's called as Grihadanda Kupam. So therefore, he concludes that verse by saying, Vanam Gata Yat Harim Ashrate, Ashrayata. Which means the way of getting out, a grihastha must not get too attached to his family, but he must take vanaprast at the right time. He must go to the one, not stay within the family, and go to the one and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari. Harim Ashrayeta. Take shelter of Lord Hari in the vanaprast. Now, One may question, if you simply read this translation, and then you read this translation, and then you go back to Bali Maharaj pastime, and then you say, what is Prahlad Maharaj doing at home? His grandson is already there now. So he should have been in the one, somewhere in the forest. So why is he there at home now, along with his family? So this is not correct. He's saying one thing and he's doing something else. And that is where purports are important. Because then the acharyas can, then immediately Prabhupada will comment something there. Please don't think that he was an ordinary person. So Prahlad Maharaj was not an ordinary person. So though he was living in that family only to be a spiritual grandfather to all his descendants. Otherwise there was no reason for him to be in that family. So the question is not that whether one goes to physically to the forest or whether physically one is in householder life. The question is what is one doing in the forest or what is one doing in the household life after 50. That is more important. That is exactly the one which Prabhupada is talking about. It's not just going physically to the one. In fact, we have been cautioned, don't settle down in Vrindavan as much as possible. Till the time that we have offensive mentality, we don't settle down in Vrindavan. We don't build a house and settle there permanently. Even if we build a house, we just go there to recharge our batteries. But we don't plan to settle down. Because any offense in Vrindavan has got multiple times effect. Whether it is, and any good thing that also you do in Vrindavan, spiritual activity also is multiplied by many, many thousand times. But we have to be very careful. So, the lives of the acharyas can be understood by reading the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Regardless of who that saint may be. And the lives of saints cannot be understood in any other manner. So, we have to depend on the pen and the lips of advanced saintly personalities. Similarly, the activities of God. So the Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viktatvataha yaktva deham punar janma naiti mam yeti sovaljana. So the Lord says, my janma and my karma, my pastimes, my life, my birth and my activities are all transcendental in nature and it is divyam. An ordinary person just cannot understand it. So even to understand the activities of the Lord, we have to understand it through the lips of the saints. And also through the lives, by studying the lives of the saints, we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead much, much better. Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not alone. When Srila Prabhupada said, when you say Krishna, Krishna is never alone. Krishna means Krishna plus his devotees. So you cannot isolate the devotees from Krishna. So for an absolute understanding of the absolute truth, we need to study the lives of Sri Krishna's pure devotees as much as we study the lives of pastimes of Lord Krishna. And the sadhus teach us how to understand the transcendental nature of this absolute truth. So there are two things which become very important for Srimad Bhagavatam to take its effect on our consciousness to the highest extent. Two things are important. One is, we must study the purports of Srila Prabhupada and not only restrict to studying the verses and their translation. That's number one, very important. Number two, these purports have to be written by a person who himself has developed unalloyed love and attraction for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot read bogus purports. For example, even Mayavadis comment on Bhagavad Gita and they may also write purports. But such purports will not take us anywhere in our devotional life. So, in the next verse, which is Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Srila Prabhupada writes purports saying that Srimad Bhagavatam, for it to take effect, one has to hear from the person Bhagavata. So, it's not only the book Bhagavata which is important, the person Bhagavata is also very important. Right? So today is the transcendental appearance day of such a person, Bhagavata. So whose appearance day is it? Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur taught us how to live in householder life. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's pastimes are very, very important for anyone who is married or who is planning to get married. So because he taught us how to live in grihastha ashram, how to serve grihastha ashram perfectly, yet remain detached from grihastha ashram. So, he is considered as one of the topmost devotees in our disciplic succession. And we have to be very proud that in our lineage we have such an elevated Acharya. His wife, Bhagavati Devi, had 10 children. They had 10 children. Now the moment we say this, immediately the mind says, oh, 10 children. Too much of family life. That's what our mind will say, first thing. So, at the outside it may sound a bit atrocious. How 10 children? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, completely detached from family life. What is going on here? Okay. Further, when we read about the sections, when we hear that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote some 20 volumes on Vikram and Vetal. You know what is Vikram and Vetal? We know the Hindi serial, right, which came. Vikram was a king and Vetal was a ghost. So in comic books, in childhood, we hear the pastimes of Vikram and Vetal. This ghost is always chasing the king. And the ghost sits on top of the king and tells that I'll sever your neck if you don't answer my question. And then the ghost will tell a pastime and then the king is supposed to answer. And at the end of the pastime, the ghost will ask a question to the king. And if the king doesn't answer it correctly, the king's head is chopped off. But King Vikram is very wise, so he always ends up answering the ghost correctly. And so on and so forth. So this is the kind of a comic book for children. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has composed many volumes on Vikram and Vetal. So on one hand you see he has got 10 children, on the other hand he is writing on Vikram and Vetal. Then you may wonder, and you call him a great Acharya? So, therefore we have to be very careful. So, when we discuss the pastimes of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gradually, we have been cautioned by the Acharyas. He was not an ordinary person. Hear about him only from bona fide devotees, bona fide acharyas. Don't jump to any wrong conclusions, otherwise we will be doing a big Vaishnava aparadh against one of the greatest saints who we have seen in our disciplic succession. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life was such that it was characterized by two things. One is lot of miseries and lot of illness and sickness. So if you see his life, it was full of that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was born, he saw the death of his brothers gradually. Many of his brothers left their body. Also, he developed a serious skin disease. And he used to fall sick every now and then. Every other day virtually he was falling sick. However, Srila Prabhupada said that never were his devotional activities lessened at any point in time. His bhakti was tivra at all points in time, regardless of his material circumstances. And Srila Prabhupada therefore said, no ordinary man could have maintained his devotional service under such conditions. And thus it becomes very important to study about his life. In fact, what to speak of devotees, even non-devotees used to appreciate the glory or the spiritual potency of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One such person was Shishir Kumar Ghosh. Now in Calcutta, there is a big publication called as Anand Bazar Patrika. It was one of the most popular newspapers. Now the editor of Anand Bazar Patrika was Shishir Kumar Ghosh. And Shishir Kumar Ghosh, when he lived along with Bhaktivinoda Thakur during the same time, he said, you talk about Rupa Goswami. He talked to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, you talk about Rupa Goswami, you talk about Sanatana Goswami, you talk about Gopal Bhatta Goswami, you talk about Raghunath Das Goswami, you talk about Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. And Jiva Goswami. I have not met all these Goswamis. I don't know anything about these Goswamis. I don't know anything about these Goswamis, but simply by seeing your life, I am concluding that you are the seventh Goswami. That's what he said. This title was given by Shishir Kumar Ghosh. In fact, so much was the affection of Shishir Kumar Ghosh's family towards Bhaktivinoda Thakur that down the lineage of Shishir Kumar Ghosh, his great-grandson or grandson was a very influential person. He was a big minister in the government of Bengal, and through his help and support, ISKCON was able to secure the Mayapur land on which today our Chandrodaya Mandir is built. So it is all the mercy of Shishir Kumar Ghosh. Again, the mercy is coming through Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So therefore, even non-devotees were able to appreciate his spiritual prowess. When Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was born in 1838. So as soon as he appeared, they called an astrologer and saw his charts. So the astrologer, immediately on seeing his chart, predicted that this personality has descended from the spiritual world and he is going to become one of the greatest Vaishnava Acharyas that the world has known. So there was the first prediction of his greatness. Next, as I said before, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur always used to fall sick every now and then. So every time he had to go to a doctor. So he used to go very often to a Muslim doctor, a Muslim Vaidya. Now one day, as the doctor was treating him, now this Muslim Vaidya, he was not only a physician, but he was also a great astrologer. He could predict. So he made two predictions one day to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One, he said that the village where you live, that entire village will be destroyed by the disease of cholera. That is one prediction he made. And the second prediction he made, that you will become a great Vaishnava Acharya. And both of them came true. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was born in a very aristocratic family. His great grandfather used to own one complete part of Bengal. Bengal was divided into three parts. So one of those parts was completely owned by his grandfathers. In fact, it is mentioned that there were elephants in his house. They used to own elephants. Nowadays we can own only dogs. But they used to own elephants in their house. And each person, the family was huge, and each of them had his own elephant. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also had his own elephant. So such was the wealth. And his grandfather was the owner of a part of Calcutta called as Govindpur. And since childhood, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was immensely attached to his grandfather. Not because of any material reasons, but because his grandfather was a pure devotee of Lord Jagannath. That's why. However, his grandfather had some peculiar habits. One peculiar habit of his grandfather was, he will not eat anything during the day. But at 12 o'clock in the night, he will go to the kitchen and make kachoris. 12 o'clock in the night. And then he will offer those kachoris. And he will eat those kachori along with chilies. This was a very peculiar habit at 12 o'clock in the night. And after that kachori and chili has gone into his mouth, he used to make predictions, which always used to come true. This is a bit far out for all of us, I'm sure. Right. So one night, after he finished his kachoris, and he finished eating his chilies, he called Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that time he was very small, grandson. He said, come, I want to see you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, why do you want to see me? He said, because I'm going to leave my body in 3 days' time. So, and I want to be with you. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and saw his grandfather. He saw that his grandfather was perfectly perfect. You know, he is eating gobbling kachoris and he is eating, you know, chilies and he is enjoying it and he is perfectly healthy. So he said, I can't believe it. That looking at you, I can't believe that you are going to leave your body in 3 days. He said, no, no, no. Lord Jagannath has given me the order. I have to leave in 3 days' time. And actually, he left in 3 days' time. So that was the foreboding, or what do you call that as, ability to predict of his great-grandfather. And that great-grandfather told Bhaktivinoda Thakur two predictions. He said, you will never progress in your material career till the age of 28. But after 28, you will progress very fast in your career. And that also came true later on in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. And also he said, you will be a great Vaishnava Acharya. You will be the greatest exponent of Gaudiya Vaishnavism to have existed during your time. So again, so there are three predictions made about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So born in 1838 in an aristocratic family, his Karmi name was Kedarnath Datta. That was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's name before he got initiated. Now, since childhood, he had an interest in seeking spirituality. And his great-grandfather, as I said, his grandfather had a great influence on what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, on the early sentiments that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur developed towards religion and spirituality. So he was a great influence. Not only was his grandfather a great influence, but also they had a peculiar family guard, a family servant like that, who used to guard the house. Now this family guard, apparently he was a dacoit.
in the past. In the same lifetime, not in the past lifetime, in the same lifetime he was a dacoit. So he was very powerful and he knew exactly how to operate, you know, arms and ammunition, everything. He was completely trained. Now, somehow or the other, this person got into Ramayana, hearing Ram Katha. And then he gave up all his bad ways and now he was serving in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to hear Ramayana from his family guard like that. And that was his first exposure. And he developed a great taste for chanting Ram's name, the name of Lord Ramchandra. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of course, we know that, you know, this is a pastime, but in his childhood, he was very fearful of ghosts. So when someone said ghost, he used to get very scared. So he used to like picking up, you know, fruits from the trees. But people said there are these trees inhabited by ghosts. He was very scared to go and pick up those fruits. But one day his mother told him, don't worry, and even the dacoit told him, that if you chant the name of Ram, then no ghost can stay in that place. So whenever you are afraid, whenever you are scared, immediately you chant the name of Lord Ramchandra. So no ghost can stay there. So he used to go there. Next time when he used to go and pick up the fruits, he used to loudly chant, Ram, 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 Ram. He used to chant the name of Ram. And gradually it is mentioned that he realized, he could feel that the ghosts are going away from that place. And this pastime he revealed later on in his life, in another incident which we will come to later. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in 1852, he not only was born in a very aristocratic family, but he had a very rich education in his life. In 1852, when he was 14 years old, he studied, he went to the best of the British schools, because that time India was being ruled by the British. He went to the best of British schools and he became very adept at the English language, which we can see even in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's writings. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's writings, even a Britisher could not understand what he is writing. For example, if we read purports of Brahma Samhita written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we cannot go beyond probably half a paragraph. Right? After that, we will give up. We just can't understand what is going on there. Right? And we have to hear from some senior devotee then to understand. So that was the level of English. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also very adept at the English language and he used to write articles and poems in English for a famous newspaper called as Hindu Intelligence. And his articles were also published in the British Library Gazettes. So that was the kind of impact he had even during the Britishers rule. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur studied not only English language, but he also studied the works of great Western philosophers. And he used to mix with the literati of society, with the topmost literate people in society. And these names we only hear in our history textbooks in India. People like Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, Rabindranath Tagore. In fact, Rabindranath Tagore's one of his brothers was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's best friend. And he said that, Srila Prabhupada said that. I think his name was Dvijendranath Thakur or Tagore or someone like that. So he was his best friend. So he used to move around among very, very literary circles. And he was asked to lecture as well in these literary circles. And at that time, there was one famous personality in India by the name Raja Ram Mohan Roy. Now this Raja Ram Mohan Roy, he had established a samaj called as Brahmo Samaj. Of course, the philosophy was all bogus. Actually, originally, Raja Ram Mohan Roy's mother was a follower of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she was said to be a pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Right? But Raja Ram Mohan Roy, unfortunately, he got exposed to high quality Western education. So he went to United States and Europe and he got some very big degree. Now because of that degree, something went wrong with his mind. And then he started giving his own purports in spirituality. Right? So he disowned Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as a result, his mother disowned him. His mother disowned him. So he had nothing to do. And they said, get out of this house. So, whereas in history textbook, when I read Raja Ram Mohan Roy's story, then our Indian history textbooks actually glorify him. In fact, I remember writing essays on Raja Ram Mohan Roy. You know, if you have to get 10 marks, you have to glorify him more and more. So, this is Kali Yuga education.
as much as we can glorify the rascals of Kali Yuga, we get more marks and we can also be very materially successful after that. We can come to Australia and have a good job. So this is the dichotomy of today's society, unfortunately. So at that time, this Brahmo Samaj, which was established by this Raja Ram Mohan Roy, it was very prevalent. Now Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur also dabbled with Brahmoism a bit. Again, be cautious. We are talking about Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. But he started off like that. Not only that, he studied Brahmoism plus he mastered Christianity. So on one hand he knows Brahmoism, on one hand his command over English language, then he mastered Christianity completely. Then he started comparing Brahmoism with Christianity. And what did he prefer? Which one would Bhakti Vinod Thakur have preferred? Christianity. He preferred Christianity to Brahmoism. Because he said, Christianity has a bona fide leader. Who is that? Lord Jesus Christ. And he talked about my Father who lives in heaven. So at least he didn't kill the personality of God, which Brahmo Samajis are doing. So they are not killing Krishna at least. So he developed a liking for Christianity. Slowly he started his professional life as a school teacher. He began as a school teacher with a salary of 15 rupees per month. 15 rupees is how many dollars? 50 cents? I don't know. Yeah, less than 30 cents. 30 cents per month. That was Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur's salary. 1 cent a day. And later on he went on to become the first person to introduce English medium education in the state of Orissa. So there are too many achievements which we may not be able to relate to spirituality in one sense, but we'll get there eventually. Soon his brilliance grew from a school teacher to that of holding executive services. Like his grandfather had predicted, till 27 your career will go nowhere. So his salary was growing from 16 rupees, then it became 21 rupees per month, and then it finally ended up at 45 rupees per month. That was his salary. Till the age of 27. At the age of 28, he had 3 job offers. And the third job offer he got because he cleared the Indian Civil Services Examination. In fact, today in India, it's considered, along with IIT, to be one of the toughest entrance exams. It's very, very difficult to get into the Indian Civil Services. Now it's called as Indian Administrative Services. So an IAS officer, typically if you see the chief of police or the chief of revenue services or the chief of intelligence, they are all IAS officials. The Indian ambassador to Australia, for example, they have all cleared this exam, Indian Civil Services. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had cleared that exam at that time, right? Our Acharya. So immediately after that, he got a job as deputy collector. And even after that, all his jobs were very high-ranking positions for the government. Of course, the government was under British rule at that time. So he became deputy magistrate and deputy collector at the young age of 28. And he was appointed by the British as the district magistrate of Bengal. Now, he was so efficient, so adept at his professional work, that leaders from every district would fight to get him as deputy magistrate for their district. Because no other magistrate was able to solve the problems between two individuals who were fighting. Any litigation issue, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had to solve. So which we also see today in our lives. Sometimes as preachers, many times we have to take the role of counselors as well. Now, but for Srila Prabhupada's philosophy, how would we have anything to say to anybody's issue, to solving any issue for anyone? Nothing. We would have nothing to say. For example, if the wife is fighting with the husband, and suppose they come fighting to you and say, we can't live with one another right now. Please advise. Now what do we do? If we didn't have Srila Prabhupada's purports and the guidance given by senior Vaishnavas, at best we'll say, no, you should not fight. Husband and wife should never fight. That's all we'll say. Be peaceful. Hold on, come on. You'll get there. Something like that we'll say. Which doesn't mean anything. We'll never get anywhere. Beyond that we can't go. After 2 sentences is nothing. And then they'll go away and they'll continue fighting. And then at best you can say, I told you, be patient in married life. I told you that. That's all we can say. But now that we are armed with the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnava etiquette, Grihastha manual, so many things we have, then after studying all this from the lineage, then at least we are able to give some kind of a direction. At least we can tell them, I cannot solve this issue, it's a bit complicated, but I can point you to someone who can give you advice. And then we can say, okay, go and consult Bhanu Swami, go and consult Devamrita Swami. Something like that. At least we, our mouth can tell that much. At least that much intelligence we get by hearing from our recipient succession. So, because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was empowered by the Lord and he had Shastra Chakshu, every decision that he used to give in the court had a spiritual component, and that's why people were very attracted to his decision making. Not because he was an IAS officer. There are many IAS officers in India, right? But this component was missed, not there in others. So, most of the Western world at that time, when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was doing his pastimes in this world, most of the Western world considered Hinduism to be an absurd religion, right? Because we had, you know, elephant god. So how can an elephant be god with a big stomach, you know? Lord, they used to see Lord Ganesh, and then they used to see Brahma. That was far out for them, you know. Many, many heads, you know, and you call that as God. And then Lakshmi coming out with some 8 arms and all that, you know, and then with a spear in her hand. And as per Western religion, God is all peaceful. So what is God doing with a Sudarshan Chakra or, you know, a sword in his hand? He's supposed to be a very nice guy, right? Very friendly to everyone, blessing everyone. Okay. So therefore, people couldn't understand. So when they saw the Hindu gods and goddesses, they felt that this whole Hindu religion is absurd, it is gross, it is some mythological hodgepodge. So Hindus were not treated with any dignity. There was no respectability to Hindu religion, and the Britishers considered this as a foolish superstition. Right. Now, and because they considered that, they were very successful in preaching to the Indian people, because most of the Indians have not read the Bhagavad Gita. You collect 10 Indians in the room and ask them, how many of you read Bhagavad Gita? Chance is not one of them have read. And if someone says he has read, he bluffs, then ask him how many chapters are there in Bhagavad Gita. Then he will not know that. Even if he succeeds in telling that correctly, ask him which is your favorite chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, and that you will be finished after that. Because you have not read the Bhagavad Gita, there is no question of a favorite chapter after that. Right? So, Indians are completely misled by this Western propaganda. And therefore, at best, what used to happen? Indians used to adopt Christianity or become atheist. Therefore, you will find a lot of people in India you will find someone with a Hindu first name and a last name as a Christian. It's not uncommon. You will find Suresh John or something like that. It wouldn't mean anything actually, right? Or Ashok John. It doesn't mean anything. So they are all forcefully converted. Why? Because they never read the Bhagavad Gita or our own scriptures. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought about this change. And he brought about respectability to Sanatana Dharma. Now, it's a different issue that it was called as Hinduism. Actually, there is nothing called as Hinduism in one sense. But the world knows Sanatana Dharma, unfortunately, as Hinduism. So, whatever it is, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur got that respect for Hinduism. In 1868, at the age of 30, he was appointed to a place called as Dinajpur, as the district magistrate of Dinajpur. Now, the zamindar of this Dinajpur, he was a descendant of a pure devotee whose name was Ramananda Vasu. And they were followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is where his association, devotee association, began for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he used to associate regularly with them, and by associating with them, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur got his first copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhakti Mala, which is the Bengali version of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, as soon as he got this, immediately it is said that he studied all the 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, he studied all the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, he studied Sat Sandarbha, the works of Jiva Goswami, the works of so many acharyas, he studied all that in 1 year. And he also, in that 1 year, in 12 months time, he was also doing his job as district magistrate for the British government. In 1 year, he studied all the scriptures. And it is said that his study was not just, you know, he skimmed through something. Not like that. His study was deep. He studied each and every purport. And he realized the import of Srimad Bhagavatam completely. As soon as he had finished his studies, he became so adept at Gaudiya Vaishnavism, now he compared it with Brahmoism, Quran and Old Testament and New Testament. He was good at all the four now. And once he studied that, he realized that Srimad Bhagavatam was the most profound, scientific, logical exposition that every principle of religion could be based on. So he was completely convinced that this is the highest philosophy, that no religion in this world is higher than what Srimad Bhagavatam talks about. And at best, all other religions are subsets of what Sanatana Dharma is speaking about. So he got attached to Srimad Bhagavatam at this point in time in his life, and his command on Srimad Bhagavatam started to grow from here. As per the will of the Lord, as soon as he got attachment for Srimad Bhagavatam, he was transferred to Jagannath Puri to be the district magistrate for Jagannath Puri. Now, at that time that he was transferred to Jagannath Puri in Orissa, Jagannath Puri was reeling under severe mismanagement. There was a lot of corruption going on in Jagannath Puri, and also the pandits, they were doing puja of Lord Jagannath on one hand, but they were doing all kinds of immoral activities on the other hand. So there was no schedule of worship, there was no schedule Mangala Arati, nothing was there. It was all complete chaos. So it was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who was asked to intervene by the British government to go and set things right in the temple, and it was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who established Chappan Bhog in Jagannath Puri. 56 offerings on time to the second in Jagannath Puri. It was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who established that. Now he was so strong in his preaching to the priests that all the priests immediately got disciplined under his guidance. Obviously because he had spiritual potency. So he established the highest standards of punctuality as well as morality. Not only punctuality, morality as well. So he changed the consciousness of all these pandas there. Also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are many pastimes in Jagannath Puri. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very, very cutting when it came to a swindler. So he was able to clearly differentiate because between who was a genuine saint and who was a bogus saint or a swindler. Now, during his regime in Jagannath Puri, there was one unpopular amongst the non-devotees, saint, so-called saint, called as Bhishak Sen. Now this Bhishak Sen, he used to have a long beard and long matted hair, and he used to sit in yogic trance all the time. And he used to say that I am the incarnation of Vishnu, and I have come down from the ocean of milk to deliver all of you. And Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinayashad Duskritam. The Lord comes whenever there is a decline of irreligion into this planet. So I have descended into this planet to drive out the British from India. So I am Vishnu. Not only did he say that, he said I have come with all my assistants. So Brahma is also there, Shiva is there. And there were two flunkies who he had. One was Brahma and one was Shiva along with him. So the three of them he descended with. And this guy, he was a mystic yogi. So he had lot of powers. He could manipulate material energy. So he used to sit in a yogic trance and fire used to come out of his head. And then he had this power to sit in the sweltering heat surrounded amidst fire and then meditate. Now, he became very popular. In India, even if you put limbu? Lemon and a chili under a tree and put kumkum on your head and sit with a lungi, then you get very popular. People will come and pay obeisances to you. Very easy. Because most of them have not read the scriptures. So you can imagine someone who is doing this, he's very popular, right? So everyone accepted him as Mahavishnu's incarnation. And people used to come. Then he used to say, I am the same Mahavishnu, I am the same Krishna who performed Rasalila. So he called all the ladies of the community to perform Rasalila with him. And that is when the disturbance started. That's when, Vinashakale Viparita Buddhi, which means when the time has come for your downfall, then it always starts with a woman, for a so-called saint, right? So then he started this, so his nefarious activities got noticed in the community. And people started realizing, he's actually not Mahavishnu, there's something wrong here, right? So, they complained. But the police couldn't do anything against him. Nobody could touch him because he had such a big fan following in Bengal. Nobody could touch him. Okay. So, at that time, the British government got fed up with this fellow. And then they said, only a person who is fearless and who is a pure devotee of the Lord can handle this fellow. And they called Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now you come and handle this Bhishaksen. So it is said that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur immediately, as much as he had his in his blood, it was there that any sprinter he has to finish him. Same thing was Srila Bhakti Vedanta. His son also had the same attitude. That's why he cut all the sahajiyas without fear. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur immediately went at the order of the British government. He approached this Bhishaksen, and at that time this Bhishaksen was sitting in a yogic trance and meditating. So people said, no, don't disturb him, Mahavishnu is under meditation. So he said, no, he is not Mahavishnu and I don't care. So he went straight away, and first, out of compassion, he preached to Bhishaksen. He said, Bhishaksen, look, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas, you are not Mahavishnu. We are all part and parcels of that Supreme Lord. So none of us are God. He talked about Achinta Veda Veda philosophy to Bhishaksen. But obviously Bhishaksen was not in a mood. He told, don't you dare touch me. You don't know my glories. Can you not see what I'm doing? And then he again emitted fire from his thing. And seeing that all the British, the police also, he went with police. All the police went back. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, okay, you guys, you stand behind. Give me that handcuff. He went and handcuffed this Bhishaksen and he arrested him. And when he arrested him, Bhishaksen said, you don't know what you are doing. Release me now or you will see what I do to your family. And he cursed Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. As soon as he dragged Bhishaksen and put him in jail, he got a call from his wife saying that our daughter has got a very serious ailment. She is getting convulsions and she is going and drifting into unconsciousness every now and then. And doctor is saying that it's serious. So, by his mystic power, Bhishaksen was able to bring illness on the family of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. However, he said, he told his wife, in fact, discouraged him. He said, no, you please release this Bhishaksen. What do we have to do with all these things? Just forget about him. Don't worry about him. So, Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, no, I have faith in Lord Jagannath. So, don't worry about it. And if I have to die in the service of Lord Jagannath, it's better that I die. I leave my body. It's better that our whole family dies in the service of Lord Jagannath. But no, I will not give up this service. I will ensure that this guy meets his nemesis. So then, somehow or the other, the doctors came, and by the mercy, next day, she was completely cured of her illness by Lord Jagannath's mercy. And then, this fellow wouldn't give up. He cursed Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and soon, Bhakti Vinod Thakur also fell seriously ill and became very, very sick. He was developing high temperature. And soon, his entire family was developing high fever. And most of them were having the same symptoms as what his daughters had. Again, his wife told, please leave that Bhishaksen, forget about him. But Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, no, I want him to get his punishment. Have faith in the Lord. And then, Bhakti Vinod Thakur got cured. No, sorry, actually it is said that he didn't even get cured. With that fever, he went to the court. And he delivered the verdict on Bhishaksen, saying that Bhishaksen should be imprisoned now. And he gave imprisonment verdict as a judge and he got off. As he was coming out, one of the British officials, he had learned somewhere that these yogis who have all these mystic powers, they store all their powers in their hair. So immediately the British officer, he caught hold of Bhishaksen. And they called a barber and they cut all his hair. It is said that as soon as they cut his hair, Bhishaksen fell down unconscious, completely powerless. And seeing that he was completely powerless without his hair, all his followers also rejected him. Saying that, oh no, he is not God anymore. Because no longer he is able to manifest any kind of mystic opulences or potencies. And therefore they rejected him. And then he met his end. It is said that Bhishaksen soon committed suicide inside the jail after that. So, this was our fearless Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur giving justice. In fact, what to speak of Bhishaksen, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur found out that there were a lot of irregularities happening in Jagannath Puri, even by the king of Jagannath Puri. Now, king of Jagannath Puri is a holy cow. Nobody can touch the king of Jagannath Puri. But he found that the king was embezzling funds, Lord Jagannath's funds. So he exposed the king and again started a crusade against him. In fact, the king himself used to do some black magic. And by some black magic, the king desired that Bhakti Vinod Thakur should die. And he performed black magic. But what happened, by the mercy of Lord Jagannath, after he finished at the end of the black magic ritual, the king lost his own son. And then the king realized, no, hang on, I'm not dealing with an ordinary person here. It has never happened before that, you know. So when the black magic is performed against a devotee, against a pure devotee, invariably it turns back on the person who is performing that. So these are many pastimes which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did, and through that, through faith in Lord Jagannath, he brought about a complete spiritual revival in Bengal and Orissa. Since we don't have breakfast, we all are fasting. Today is fasting, right? So there's no breakfast. Shall I go for another 10 minutes?
Yes.
With your permission. Okay, thank you. So there is yet another pastime of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that if you remember, I told you in his childhood he was very scared of ghosts, right? And his parents had told him that if you chant Ram Nam, then no ghost can trouble you. This was his childhood lesson. So during the time that he was doing this job as district magistrate, there was a dacoits gang which was operating in that area. Now this dacoits gang, they were not only looting people, but they were also adept at the practice of black magic, which is in English, I think it's called voodoo or something. Yeah. So they were adept at that. So by doing that, they had got one soul which was not in its body, and they were cultivating this ghost, right? So such ghosts are called as Brahma Daityas. So this Brahma Daitya, the way they used to use is, anyone who gives verdict in the court against these dacoits, they will unleash this ghost behind that person. And then the ghost will keep on troubling that person till the time that person reverses the, you know, witness. That way. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to know of this. So as soon as he knew, he went to that tree where this ghost was residing, and for 1 month he started recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam under that tree. As soon as they reached the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that the tree cracked open and the ghost was delivered back out of that ghost body. Right? So that was the power of Srimad Bhagavatam and the potency of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in delivering Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, you know, all that was, what is the word today? All that was troublesome to the heart of the ghost went away. Right? So he had, now Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as I mentioned earlier, he had already mastered Sanskrit. Now he studied Sanskrit under Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, who was a very great philosopher at that time, and the Tagore family. So, because he had learned Sanskrit, he also studied Sridhar Swami's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? He was able to study that. Not only did he study that, he studied Jiva Goswami's comment, also known as the Sat Sandarbha. And he studied Baldev Vidyabhushan's commentary called as Govinda Bhashya. He studied Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami. And he had complete access to the entire book library on Gaudiya Vaishnavism belonging to the king of Jagannath Puri. So soon he mastered all aspects of Gaudiya Vaishnavism and started composing many great works like the Sri Krishna Samhita, that is considered as one of his greatest works, which is a commentary on Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Now, he stayed in Jagannath Puri for a full 5 years. And during his stay in Jagannath Puri, he formed a society in Jagannath Vallabh Garden, which he called as the Bhagavat Samsad. And he formed another society called as the Vidvat Sabha, to start teaching Srimad Bhagavatam. So on one hand, he became very erudite at Srimad Bhagavatam himself, and on the other hand, he started teaching Srimad Bhagavatam and other scriptures. And he used to hold a lot of conferences at the Jagannath temple on Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is how he brought about the spiritual revival, because of Srimad Bhagavatam. In 1878, he was posted to a place called as Jessore in Calcutta. And he used to, his decisions were so good, which he used to give in that in Jessore, that he soon used to, got the name as Vaishnav Magistrate. Not District Magistrate, but Vaishnav Magistrate. So here is where he wrote his famous poems called as Kalyana Kalpataru. And his Krishna Samhita by now had become very popular in the country and was admired by many high-ranking British officers as well. So in fact, I'll read out a comment by one of the senior British officers, whose name is Reinhold, and he was a very senior official in the British government. So he wrote from London. He said, "By presenting Krishna's character and his worship in a more sublime and transcendental light,
that has hitherto been the custom to regard him in, you have rendered an essential service to your co-religionists, and no one would have taken more delight in your work than my departed friend Goldstucker, the sincerest and most zealous advocate the Hindus ever had in Europe. So he received so many such commentaries. In fact, Ralph Waldo Emerson, the famous poet, he also commented on Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna Samhita, and he appreciated that work. So this letter was dated 16th April 1880. Soon thereafter, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur got initiated by Bipin Bihari Goswami, who was his Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master, and he developed a desire to teach Gaudiya Vaishnavism to the educated masses. And that's why he wrote his famous work called as Sajjana Toshini. So he lived 3 years in Jessore. After 3 years in this Jessore, he started going on pilgrimage, and thus he visited Allahabad, Ayodhya, Banaras, and finally came to Vrindavan. When he came to Vrindavan, his devotional life further went into his final gear, the last gear, when he met Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who it is said had the greatest influence in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's spiritual life. That's why when Srila Prabhupada mentions the lineage of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he mentions Jagannath Das Babaji above Bhaktivinoda Thakur and not Vipin Bihari Goswami. Vipin Bihari Goswami also was a great soul. However, the influence, ours is a Shiksha lineage. Ours is not a Diksha lineage. So the importance to Shiksha is higher than the importance to Diksha. So the impact which Jagannath Das Babaji had on him was much, much higher in his spiritual life. So Jagannath Das Babaji encouraged Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to scale up his preaching work. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur started the first printing press, which was called as the Vaishnav Depository. And his famous work, which is called as Chaitanya Shikshamrit, came out from here. This was the most important work that established his authority on Gaudiya philosophy. Also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur commented on Bhagavad Gita as well, which came to be known as Rasika Ranjana. And many people, by reading his commentaries, became his disciples. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself started becoming an initiating spiritual master from at this point in time. So it is said that at this stage, the Lord came in his dream and gave him his most important project in his life. Which is which one? Finding out the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in a dream, the Lord came to him. Because Navadvip Dham had completely fallen into oblivion at this point in time. Right? So by the divine will, as soon as he got his dream, immediately the British government called him and transferred him to Krishnanagar. It was a strange coincidence, which is in Nadia district. Not only did they give him a posting there, but seeing the quality of his spiritual life, seeing how busy a person Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, they did not want him to miss even one day in his office. Right? So they built a special train track from his house till his workplace. A special train track for him, which exists even today. Except that it was a narrow gauge train track which they built, and since last year, 2010, last 2 years back, the government is now converting it into a broad gauge. But the train track is still there. That is because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had a very tight regimen. It is said that he used to finish his court work and come home from his court to his family at around in the evening time, around 4 p.m. he used to come home. After relaxing for half an hour, he used to have discussions with his family and he used to take prasad along with his family. After taking prasad from his family around in the evening time, he would go to village after village and he used to lecture on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and he used to give charity and prasad to all the villagers. And then he used to come in the night time and start writing his books. So throughout night he would write his books. At 4 o'clock he'll get up in the morning. Sorry, at 4 o'clock he'll go to sleep. At 4:30 he'll get up and he'll attend Mangala Arati. That was his life. Okay. He used to do Mangala Arati, and after Mangala Arati
he would sit and then he would do his home study of Srimad Bhagavatam along with his family, like that. And then after that, he would take prasadam, morning breakfast, and then he would go to the court. That was kind of his schedule. So he hardly used to sleep. Maximum, you know, when I saw his schedule, I could find 4 hours of sleep, max, at best. And that's why the British knew. So they built a train track for him. So, since he had got this instruction from the Lord, he resolved to find the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Now, in order to find that, he took shelter of the books of Narahari Chakravarti Sarkar, whose famous book called as Bhakti Ratnakar, that helped them in his archaeological investigation of where this land could be. So, based on that, he got near and he also took lot of government maps. Okay. Now, as he was residing in Krishnanagar, the famous pastime is, he one day he got a divine vision and he saw a whole temple. With his vision, he could see the birthplace exactly of Lord Chaitanya. He saw an effulgence coming out from that place. So, and he immediately called his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was no less realized. So, he also said, yes, father, I can see that. In fact, there was a third person there in the room. And he said he couldn't see anything. Right? He said, no, I can't see what both of you are seeing. But both father and son could see that place. And then the pastime is that they walked gradually towards the place till they hit a certain spot where there was a huge tulsi mound. Right? There was huge tulsi growing there in abundance. And then they went and asked the villagers there, and the villagers then revealed to them that yes, this place earlier was called as Mayapur, but now it has been renamed as Navadvip. Again we call it as Mayapur, but the villagers said that way. Alright? Now we call it as Mayapur, but earlier it was called Navadvip, and this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur still had his own doubts. He said, okay, let us hear from a self-realized person. And who was the most realized person during that time? Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, his own Siksha Guru and spiritual master. So, he went all the way and called Jagannath Das Babaji. Now, Jagannath Das Babaji at that time was 120 years old. And so, he was stooping like this, right? And he had to be carried by his own personal servant. What was the name of his personal servant? Bhima or Govinda? Something like that. Or Gopal? Huh? Bihari. Bihari was his personal servant. So Bihari used to carry Srila Jagannath Das Babaji on his head in a small basket where Babaji used to sit. Babaji could not walk apparently to the ordinary people. He could not walk or do anything. And he was blind on top of that. So when they brought Jagannath Das Babaji, till that time Jagannath Das Babaji was just sitting in the same position and Bihari was taking him near that spot. As soon as he reached the spot where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Jagannath Das Babaji jumped out of that basket and danced loudly. He started jumping up and down, 120 years old, who couldn't walk. He started jumping up and down at that place. And then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur immediately knew that this is the spot where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken birth. So that was his greatest contribution to the world. So as soon as, you know, this place was discovered, in the same year, he wrote his famous book called as Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, which talks about the importance of several places in Navadvip Dham. And in 1894, Srila Navadvip Dham Pracharini Sabha was established in Yogapit, where the deities of Sri Sri Gauranithai started to be worshipped. Soon, this Navadvip Dham, Mayapur Dham, became very popular and thousands of pilgrims from all over India started coming here. Now, as pilgrims started coming here, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books also started becoming more and more popular. And the Goswamis in Vrindavan soon realized how great Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was and how great his contribution to the cause of Gaudiya Vaishnavism was. And therefore, they aptly named him Srila Bhakti Vinod. So that name was given to him by the Goswamis of Vrindavan because of his unprecedented service to the cause of Vaishnavism. In 1896, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote on the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and sent it to universities and libraries all over India. And not only that, for the first time these commentaries in English language was sent outside of India as well. In 1900, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur composed his famous book called as Jaiva Dharma,
Now, I had the fortune of reading this, thanks to Muralidhar Prabhu, who lent me his book. After a lot of, you know, following up with him, he parted with that book. It's one of the finest books that one can read, by which one can really get a good understanding of Hinduism versus of Sanatana Dharma and Islam. True Islam, genuine Islam, not the terrorist propaganda which is being propagated. That is not Islam, right? So this book very nicely talks about that. And we get a good appreciation of what religion is all about. So this book is all about a question and answers, which is why it appealed to a person like me, because you know sometimes you know some people have a penchant for learning things through question and answers. So it's a question and answers by question and answers very clearly. Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Prayoja Gyan is all three of them are given in this book, and it talks about lot of commonalities between Islam and Vaishnavism. In fact, from this book I came to know that in Islam the soul is called as Ruh, what we call as Atma. And then, in fact, in one of Gaurang Prabhu's classes, which I recently heard, he said that one of the Islamic scholars, a highly realized person, he came and said that at the end of the day, the highest conclusion of Islam is that their God is black in color. Their God is black in color. They said Allah is black in color. Yeah. That is the highest. Otherwise, we always hear that, you know, Islam considers Allah as formless. But no, it said that the highest in Islam says that God is black in color. Like that. So there are so many things that even in this book, there is a very interesting debate between the Maulvis and the Acharyas, Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, and how the Acharyas convince the, you know, the Islamists about their own religion and about Sanatana Dharma. So if we get a chance, you know, please read this book, Jaiva Dharma. It's one of the best books that I have ever read. 1902, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote again his jewel, which is called as Harinam Chintamani, which is the guide book for chanting. So since all of us struggle with chanting, if we read Harinam Chintamani, then certainly it will have a very good impact on our quality of chanting. Also, he wrote his famous book called as Bhajan Rahasya in the same year. When Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was young, he had prayed to Lord Krishna that this message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Sanatana Dharma is so important and I am very insignificant. It was the prayer of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he said, since I am very insignificant, my dear Lord, I pray to you to please send me a personal servant to help me in spreading this Sanatana Dharma. As soon as this prayer was done, he was blessed with a son who was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who enabled this dream of his to come true. So when in Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a child when he was in Jagannath Puri, and he was only 2 months old. Now, the Jagannath cart normally comes out, right? Now, the pastime says that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and also Bhagavati Devi, who was his wife, they had a deep desire that Lord Jagannath should bless Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was just born, 2 months old. So, as the Rath cart was going there, the Rath cart suddenly came to a stop right in front of their house, and the car would not move. And then it was only after his wife Bhagavati Devi got Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the baby, out and placed him under Lord Jagannath's feet that the car started to move. Not only that, but the garland of Lord Jagannath exactly came and fell on top of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that's how Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur also came to know that yes, Lord has answered my prayers, and this is not an ordinary child who went on to become later Vimal Prasad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur wrote several books, and he had a dream one day that he prayed that someday Europeans, Americans, Orientals, Australians, Indians, everyone, all of them should come together under one umbrella, and leaving all religious sectarianism, racism, and then come together and chant together the holy names of the Lord. So he had this dream, and this dream was then fulfilled by the disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by Srila Prabhupada, who got an instruction at the age of 22 from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to go and do this. And at the age of 70, Srila Prabhupada then created ISKCON. So, all this happened because of the blessing and mercy of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur
was visible in this world from 1838 and he disappeared. He performed his disappearance first time in the year 1914. It is mentioned in the scriptures that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is none other than Kamal Manjari in Krishna Leela. And the flowers from his body are enshrined at Sri Sri Radha Kund. So today is the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and we are all doing a half day fasting. Let us take this opportunity to invoke his divine blessings of this very great Acharya by loudly chanting three times. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya Ki! Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya Ki! Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya Ki! Let us also say a small Pranati mantra for him and we will also chant it with the meaning. This is called as Srila Bhakti Vinod Vinoda Pranati. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya.
Namo Bhakti Vinodaya.
Satchidananda Namine.
Satchidananda Namine.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
Rupanugavarayate.
Rupanugavarayate.
Namo Bhakti Vinodaya.
Namo Bhakti Vinodaya.
Satchidananda Namine.
Satchidananda Namine.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
Rupanugavarayate.
Rupanugavarayate.
Namo Bhakti Vinodaya.
Namo Bhakti Vinodaya.
Satchidananda Namine.
Satchidananda Namine.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya.
Rupanugavarayate.
Rupanugavarayate.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Satchidananda Bhakti Vinoda, who is transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower
of the Goswamis,
headed by Srila Rupa Goswami.
Goswami.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Satchidananda Bhakti Vinoda,
who is transcendental energy
of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He is a strict follower
of the Goswamis,
headed by Srila Rupa Goswami.
I offer my respectful obeisances
unto
Satchidananda Bhakti Vinoda,
who is transcendental energy
of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
He is a strict follower
of the Goswamis,
headed by
Srila Rupa Goswami.
Srila
Bhakti Vinod Thakur Mahashaya ki
jai.
Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Jai Nitaya Gaur Premah.